Well, good morning. This morning I'm continuing in my Christmas series called O Come, Let Us Adore Him. Last week we talked about wise men and their worship. Today I want to talk about wise men and their gifts. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for, in your word, telling us what happened so many years ago that still benefits us today. And I pray that as we revisit these passages about your birth, Lord Jesus, that you would remind us of why we celebrate Christmas. And that you would remind us that in the same way that wise men came to worship you and with that brought you gifts, that wise men and women today who come to worship you, we still want to honor you with gifts. And I pray that we would get something out of what the wise men gave you 2,000 years ago that might point us still in the right direction of how we can serve you and give you things today, because you are worthy. You are our Lord. Forgive us for the times where we have not worshiped you. Forgive us for the times where we've put you last in our priorities. I hope today would be a turning point for all of us, that from this day forward, we would worship you the way a king deserves. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 2. Same passage as last week. I'm gonna zoom in on one of those verses that I read last week. It's verse 11. Regarding the visitation and the adoration of the wise men who came for one purpose, and that's what? To worship this newborn king. And that's still true today. Think about why you're here today. Why did you get up early on a Sunday morning when many others are sleeping in? Why did you get up early? Get dressed and shower. Get your kids dressed if you have kids to dress. And you make a drive, some 10 minutes, some more than 30, 40 minutes, maybe some over an hour, to come to church, to sit through a service that's an hour and 15, 20, 25 minutes long, to in some way show or give God your honor, your glory. Why? It's to bring him our worship. And I've said this in past weeks that I think sometimes we get it backwards. We think that we're coming to a worship service for God to give us something. And that is true. That's a byproduct. But that's not the main thing. The main reason we get up early and go through all that is what we bring him. And if we didn't get one thing out of these messages and out of this experience, at least we brought him what he deserves. So the next time you think about sleeping in, the next time you think about, oh, I'm too tired, I've had a bad week, I've had a busy week, hold on a minute. Don't forget why we come. And don't forget that God is always worth our worship. See, worship is something we do. Worship is something we give to God to say thank you for who he is and what he's done and what he's doing and what he will do in our life, because he's worthy. He's worth it. In fact, I think we ought to change the name from worship to worth-ship. The next time you think about a worship service, the reason we go is because he is worth it, or is he? I think that's the question. And I hope for all of us today that if we need to be challenged, we're going to be challenged in our thought and our views of why we worship God and how we come and when we come and why we don't give him our best worship. I hope we're challenged in that way, and the Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts, and at least starting today and moving forward, we might have a little bit better view of worship and why we worship God. You know, the wise men came to worship him in spite of distance, danger, and difficulty. And when they came, they brought him something. They gave him something. They gave him three things, and we're going to focus in on that. They brought him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And yes, it's misspelled on your bulletin. That was my bad. I misspelled frankincense. Julie had already printed the notes. I wasn't going to ask her to reprint. We're being a good steward of our resources. But would you circle that word and change the spelling? It's right up here. Because Christina Bell called me yesterday and said, did you know you misspelled frankincense? I said, thank you for catching that. Would you correct it? So, Christina, thank you. But why those gifts? I understand bringing gold to a king, but frankincense and myrrh? And so I want to share some thoughts about each of those three gifts that might help us as wise men and women today who still come to worship, how that might impact or infer about how maybe we should give to King Jesus. Amen? So, our text today is Matthew 2, verse 11. That's the one verse. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and what? Worshipped him. And part of their worship, an expression of their worship, was they then opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so this morning I want to talk about the gifts that the wise men gave. And the first one is gold. They brought him gold. Gold is symbolic of royalty. Gold is something you would give a king to acknowledge his sovereign dominion. So I put that in parentheses. Be thinking about ways we can honor God and his sovereign dominion in our life today. And the reason gold was given to a king was gold had great worth, and so did the king. And so when you came to worship somebody of great worth, you would bring them something of great worth, and that was gold. And in a sense, these wise men were recognizing that he is the new king for God's people, and we want to honor him by bringing him something, worth a lot. And they brought him gold. Now, how did they know that? How did these wise men from the east know that this newborn baby was the king? Some say it was the prophet Daniel. Many years before, Daniel, in Scripture, in the Old Testament, Daniel was a prophet that foretold the birth of a new king. And these men from the east had studied under the teachings of Daniel. And in the book of Daniel, chapter 9, Daniel speaks about a coming Messiah as a savior of sorts, but also as royalty. In fact, he refers to him in chapter 9 as Messiah the Prince, which indicates royalty. Daniel even gives a prophetic timeline for when the birth of this new king is to happen, and it points to specifically the year AD 30. It blows my mind how exact, over thousands of years, predicting into the future to the year that God was, because God foreknew exactly when that king was going to be born, and he put it in the heart of a prophet thousands of years before to go ahead and prophesy, foretell of that day. So I have a feeling these wise men had studied Daniel chapter 9. But in this prophetic timeline, it points to that year, and it was in that year where Jesus came into Jerusalem on a donkey, and it was his introduction, being introduced as the Messiah, right, as God. And it was God's appointed and anointed Savior and deliverer for God's people. In fact, he was born. We celebrate Christmas because of what we learned from his death. His birth was miraculous in and of itself. But his death is the reason we celebrate his birth. It's interesting that Jesus never commanded us to remember his birth. He did command us to remember his death. Also in Isaiah, Isaiah also prophesied this new king would be born in the royal bloodline of King David, and he would rule or have dominion over God's kingdom from then on and forevermore. In fact, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." So the wise men recognized this kingdom authority that was given to this new baby and bowed down to him in honor and gave him something of great value. And so, putting the spotlight on you and me today, have we done that? Are we doing that? Or will we do that? Well, we recognize his sovereign dominion over us as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. How would we do that? Maybe by putting him first, not last, or somewhere in the middle, or giving him our best, not our leftovers. I mean, what do you give a king? Honoring him with our resources, not just our money, but our time. Time's valuable. How much time do you spend with the king of your life? Talents, abilities. I mean, we've all been gifted in certain ways, and for most of us, we use those gifts and talents to build our kingdom, to work, to make a paycheck so we can live our life. But are you really using your gifts and talents, that resource, to build the kingdom of God? Because that's the kingdom that's going to last forever. The kingdom you're building will come to an end when you die. But his kingdom lasts forever. You know, it's interesting when we talk about giving, they gave gold, something of great value. Today, I think the equivalent would be our money. A lot of us don't have gold. Back in the Old Testament, Cain and Abel, they were shepherds and farmers. They didn't have a lot of money, but they had produce. They had livestock. Isn't it interesting when we go back to the very first story in Scripture about humanity giving something to God, and there was Cain and Abel. And Cain brought his offering, and Abel brought his offering, two brothers. They gave it to God, and God considered one's giving acceptable and one's not. Have you ever wondered why? You ever wondered? There's just a few key words that I think explain why God felt the way he did about both people's offerings. In fact, I made a note here. Cain, it says, I believe this is in chapter 3, it says Cain gave some of his crops. That'd be like you and me when we put something, we just put something in the offering plate. But it said Abel gave his best lamb from the firstborn. That's the difference. Cain gave something. Abel gave his best. And it came from the first lamb. The best lamb, the choice lamb. When it comes to giving today, are you giving God some of your resources, or are you giving him your best resources? Are you giving him something from which you have to spend, or are you giving him that first part before you spend anything else? At Shoreline, when we were on staff together at Shoreline, Debbie, you remember Pastor Rob would say this from time to time. If President Bush, that tells you the timeline we were on staff, George W. Bush, if President Bush were to visit our church this weekend, what would you differently to prepare for that? We're thinking, oh, wow. You know, it's like royalties coming to our church. And all of the answers were wrong because he said, someone far more important than President Bush is here every week. Why aren't you already giving him your best? And it was just a great paradigm for us to remember that every week we're in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And doesn't he deserve our best all the time? Let's give him a big hand clap offering right now. Amen. So that's the first thought. When we think of how they gave gold, we could equate that to giving him from our resources, including our wealth, our financial wealth. Are you honoring him in that way, in a way that he would be worthy? Here's number two, frankincense. Frankincense. There was a guy once who named one of his children Frankincense. He named the other one Bob. And he ran into an old friend and said, I don't know if you've met my kids. This is Frankincense and Bob. And as they were talking, he got time alone. He goes, what motivated you to name your kid Frankincense? He said, well, my wife and I love movies. I love Frankenstein. And her favorite movie is Common Sense. So I just put the two together, Frankincense. And he said, what about Bob? It's the title of another movie. Okay. Anyway. You will repeat that one. I know you will. Okay, so in the way that gold was used to honor kings, frankincense was used to honor Almighty God, and it represented worship. Exodus chapter 30. If you read the whole context of this passage I'm about to read, you'll see that when they came to worship God, there was an altar, there was the anointing oil, there was the incense, frankincense. It says, then the Lord said, verse 34, then the Lord said to Moses, take for yourself spices, stacte, onycha, gabbanum, spices with pure frankincense. Notice the word pure, it's the best. Pure frankincense. There shall be an equal part of each. With it you shall make incense, a perfume, the work of a perfumer, salted, pure, and holy. We are to be salt of the earth, amen? Salted, pure, and holy. You shall beat some of it very fine and put part of it before the testimony in the tent of meeting where I will meet with you. It shall be most holy to you. Notice how many times he emphasizes the word holy, holy, holy. Your worship should be holy. The incense which you shall make, you shall not make in the same proportions for anybody else. It shall be holy to you for the Lord. Whoever shall make any like it to use as a perfume shall be cut off from his people. You know, when I read that passage, what I take away is God took worship really, really serious. Do we? Do we? Do we still take worship serious? God does. Worship is something we should give to a holy God. It reminds us of his sinless deity. It's like incense that rises up when we worship. You ever walked into a home or walked into a store where there was that just a real pleasing aroma in the air? And I'm just wondering if when we give God our worship and we pray and we read his word and we talk to him, if he's going, I love it. I love it. Is your worship a pleasing aroma to God? Knowing that, could it then be the motivator why we should be here early and not late? Knowing that, I'm going to lean on some of the men. It's important to be here before we start the first song, not just in time for a message. Sometimes men, they just want a good word, they want a good message, but leave the singing to other. No, hold on. You're missing the whole reason for worship. You're missing the whole reason for why we do prayer and worship nights. It's because God takes it really serious. And what could be more important that would cause us to say, I don't think I really want to go? I'm just wondering how God would feel if this many right here showed up for prayer every Wednesday. It's never happened. I'm wondering if we have a skewed view of how God looks at prayer and how God looks at worship. What could be more important on a Wednesday night at 6 p.m. that would stand in the way and get your worship outside of why we gather? Something to think about. When the wise men brought gifts of frankincense to the newborn king, they were recognizing him as deity to be worshipped. So gold, because he was sovereign dominion. Frankincense, because he is sinless deity. In other words, because he's king, I will submit my will to him. Because he is deity, I will give him my worship. And then there's myrrh. There's myrrh. M-Y-R-R-H, myrrh. Myrrh. Who knows what myrrh was used for? Myrrh was a resin. It was a gum-like sap extracted from myrrh trees. Very, very expensive. And what it was used for was for healing. It was also used to embalm dead bodies. And so why would they give a gift like that to a newborn baby? I think in a sense it was God's way of foretelling what would happen to this baby later on in life. And it points to his sacrificial death. Gold, sovereign dominion, frankincense, sinless deity, myrrh, sacrificial death. Mark 15, verse 22, they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. It was in the shape, it looked like, still does today, it looks a little bit like a skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And then they crucified him. The reason he didn't take it is he didn't want to be healed on the cross. He knew he had to die. And then after he died, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate to give him the dead body so he could prepare it for burial. And then we go to John chapter 19, verse 38. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly because he feared the Jewish leaders. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. That's a lot. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices in strips of linen in accordance with Jewish burial customs. I'm not sure the wise men knew why they were bringing it, but I believe that God ordained these wise men to bring certain things. God knew it if they didn't. And we know it now as men and women who come to worship God. We know why they brought it. And I said earlier, Jesus never said to remember his birth, but to remember his death. And the reason I make that point again is I think our world is better at recognizing the birth of Christ, celebrating Christmas with less attention on his death. I think a bigger deal, in our country at least, is made about Christmas than Easter, which doesn't make sense. Because without Jesus' dying and resurrecting, we wouldn't really have a reason to honor his birth. And so Jesus was, I wrote this down, Jesus was, this might be something you can put on social media, Jesus was born to die so that we could live. Jesus was born to die so that we could live. In fact, the first Christ tree, we have a Christmas tree, but the first Christ tree was the cross. And so Christmas is the best time to witness to others why he was born. He was born to die for your sins and mine. And why not this Christmas look for ways to give him your witness. Not just your wealth, not just your worship, but what about your witness? This Christmas and the days that we have left, maybe leading up to the new year and beyond, maybe every week in the next year, why don't we look for ways to give him those three things that would be connected to those three things that the wise men brought him on the very first Christmas. Amen? So, what is God speaking to you right now? If we could bring the house lights down a little bit. We talked about the gifts of the wise men and gifts that wise men and women today can still bring him. When I think about the gold, sovereign dominion, would you say that you are truly submitted to the lordship of Christ? Is he truly the Lord? Is he truly the one sitting on the throne in your life? And are you giving him your best? Are you giving him the best of your time, the best of your talents, the best of your treasures? What about frankincense? Do you worship him above everything and everyone else in your life because he is sinless deity? Or are there other things that compete for your worship? And then myrrh. Will you give him your witness this Christmas? And every day beyond, will witnessing become part of your lifestyle? Showing and telling others who God is, telling them about the power of a changed life, how he's changed your life, how he wants to change their life. Can you honestly say, moving into Christmas season, towards Christmas Day, that your wealth, your worship, and your witness belongs to the Lord? I think that would be something worthy to focus on, don't you think? And in the same way that those wise men brought him valuable and meaningful gifts, we can do the same today. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your message today. Thank you for reminding us about the gifts that the wise men brought and how we can do likewise. I pray that you would continue to stir our hearts to worship you the way you deserve to be worshiped, and that our worship would reveal your worth, that we would do the things we've heard today because you are worthy. You are worth it. You deserve our best worship. Forgive us for the times where we haven't given you our best. Forgive us. But now, Holy Spirit, would you encourage us? Would you encourage us and equip us and remind us daily of how important this is to you first, God, but also to us? And that as we put you first in our worship, you'll continue to remind us of your love for us and how you will always take care of us as we seek you first.